This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A little negative energy.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This week, the U.S. is firming up an energy deal with Pakistan. It struck one last week with India. But the U.S. isn't happy at all with an energy pact coming together between India and Pakistan. That's because it involves Iran. The two countries want to build a gas pipeline from Iran. Miranda Kennedy has more.
Officials say if they build it, benefits will come to all three countries. It'll bring revenue to Iran, transit fees and gas to Pakistan, and lots of gas to India. Both India and Pakistan have massive, unmet energy needs. Mohammed Taba, one of Pakistan's top industrialists, says the pipeline is a good bet. And he says Pakistan's business community believes the U.S. should back the project, if only because the U.S. owes Pakistan a favor since 9/11.
The way our government is supporting the U.S., we should get reciprocation from their side also.
But that doesn't go down too well with the U.S. This week, U.S. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman told Pakistani officials there was no way the U.S. would encourage any country to work with Iran in any way. In Karachi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
The Bush administration's going to get some of Google's goods, just not as many as it wanted. Yesterday, a federal judge ordered the search engine to turn over a random collection of searches, but only about 50,000 instead of the million the government wanted. The Department of Justice wants the information for its probe into child pornography. You might think sweatshops are only a problem in developing countries, but a report out this week suggests they're alive and well in the good old U.S. of A. In fact, some of the factories are busy making uniforms for the U.S. military. Hillary Wakay reports.
The Department of Defense spends more than $2 billion a year on textiles. But a report says some of those tents and uniforms are coming out of factories that offer below-poverty-level wages, forced overtime, or have documented safety violations. The report produced by the union Unite Here says taxpayers not only buy the uniforms, they also fund government assistance for the underpaid workers. Lois McMillan has been sewing for 13 years and is proud to make uniforms full-time. But at $6 an hour, she says she needs help.
I'm relying on the government for Medicaid, and I get food stamps. I got four kids.
The report estimates the amount of government assistance needed to sustain the sweatshop employees could cost as much as $45 million a year. I'm Hillary Wakay for Marketplace.
Santa Claus is probably doing his off-season workout right now, but he better check his email. There's one from Sony that says the PlayStation 3 won't be coming out until November. It was supposed to be in stores this spring, but today the company said it's having trouble with some of the technology for the Blu-ray DVD disc. The delay means all three of the new console systems, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, will be available for the holiday season, so Santa will need to be in good shape. Wall Street's breathing a little easier now. The Dow climbed 75 points to 11,151. The Nasdaq was up 28 to 2,295. The S&P 500 rose 13. The Dow and the S&P are at five-year highs. The yield on the 10-year T-note had its biggest drop in 6 months, a sign that interest rate worries are easing up. You're listening to Marketplace. If I didn't have to host this show the next few days, I'd be at the South by Southwest Music Festival in Austin, Texas. 1,300 bands from around the world. Only problem is a place to stay. Here's Julie Moody.
Hotel rooms in downtown Austin have been sold out since January. College student Ian Haynes decided to take advantage of the hotel crunch and rent out his downtown apartment. He normally pays $700 a month. Haynes says he posted a listing on Craigslist in New York, Los Angeles, and in Austin about a month ago. More than 100 people replied.
The ones that I didn't take seriously were bands that had multiple members. And just very large numbers of people where they were asking if they could bring cots and things like that.
Haynes settled on a married couple who will pay $1,200 for 4 nights. On average, a downtown Austin hotel room goes for about $130 a night. In Austin, Texas, I'm Julie Moody for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic. Alleviating pain. Restoring health. Extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by Warner Home Video, presenting Good Night and Good Luck, a film that looks at our freedoms under attack, starring George Clooney and David Strathairn, on DVD March 14th.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Within the next few days, Congress is going to need to raise the country's debt limit. Lawmakers have to do it by March 24th, or else bad things happen. The White House wants to boost the ceiling by hundreds of billions of dollars. Commentator Robert Reich says there's nothing wrong with debt. It's what you spend it on that counts.
You may hear it called a debt limit or debt ceiling or debt cap, but usually you don't hear about it at all because most people in Washington don't like to talk about it. It's the maximum amount of money the United States can borrow, and that maximum is set by Congress. Right now, it's set at $8,184 billion. The White House wants to raise it to $8,961 billion. You still listening? These are numbers so big they defy the imagination. We're talking about a sum of money that's almost 90% of America's entire gross domestic product this year. Congress has to raise the limit because we're going deeper into debt and because the government continues to spend more than it's receiving back in taxes. If Congress doesn't raise the debt limit, the United States can't borrow more money and the U.S. will default on its obligations. A default by the United States would be the end of financial civilization as we know it. So, of course, Congress will raise the debt limit. But still, it's embarrassing because members of Congress like to talk about being fiscally responsible, yet the budget is so obviously out of control. It would be especially embarrassing if they have to record their votes. A midterm election is coming up in 7 months, and who wants to be on record in favor of raising the debt? There's also the inconvenient historic fact that a little more than a decade ago, when a Democrat was in the White House, Republican congressional leaders refused to raise the debt limit until they got an ironclad promise that the budget would be balanced. And it was. But this time, nobody expects the budget to get anywhere near balance for years. But the real irony here is that a larger national debt would not be bad if the extra money we borrowed was spent on making Americans more productive, healthier, and better educated, so in future years we could repay the debt and also enjoy a higher standard of living. But the extra borrowing this time is not for any of this. In fact, we're cutting back on education and skimping on child health. The extra money is for a bloated military budget, a badly thought-out Medicare drug benefit, an engorged subsidy to big agriculture, and a slag heap of pork and corporate welfare. And on top of all of this, the White House wants to extend forever those 2001 and 2003 tax cuts that still have not boosted investment or trickled downward and probably never will. The debt limit will be raised as quietly as possible because almost no one in Washington wants to talk about how much we owe, how badly we're spending it, and how much of our future we're squandering.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Your comments, letters at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
So what's cooking at Charles Schwab's?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.